And once you realize that gifts, you try to walk that way. But that doesn't stop everything else from coming. That doesn't stop how you feel. That doesn't transform you from flesh to supernatural. You don't go from natural to supernatural. You may be more aware of what's inside you, but it doesn't stop. So, I wasn't even going to say nothing, but when I had this message, it's been warm with me. It's real, real simple. But it's real detrimental or heavy. Real simple. Real simple. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to read the key verse, and then we'll read a little more later, okay? And I'm going to read mostly because this message is not from me. That's what it's so hard for. This is directly from Jesus. And the hard part for me is giving that out without taking it or giving it as due just. Because it seems so simple. So we're going to go to John 11. Hallelujah. Thank you, church. Thank you, church, for your patience, for your tender care. I feel it. I know that was for a faith, but I stepped into it. I feel it. Thank you. And I don't know if you know, but the Lord's presence is already here. Young Life, you did your diligence, your due diligence. You did your job. So I heard dinner's at 2, so I got till 2, right? No. Yeah, boy. My wife was tripping. She said, the whole chapter? That's my support group. John 11, 25. I'm going to read for your hearing real quick. Just 25 and 26, and then I want to jump to John 3. Okay? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 3:16. Actually, I'm going to go a little bit ahead of that. John 14. And has Moses, John 3:14, I'm sorry. And has Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I want to read 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. I'm going to say that one more time. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we're going to spend most of our time in John 11. And in John 11, I just want to repeat it real quick, and then I'm going to let you sit down. Just one little piece. Jesus said to her, do you believe this? So my question to you is, do you believe? Do you believe? You can be seated. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. Just pray with me real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we're coming together one more time. Father, we trust you. We trust your way. We trust your word. But right now, God, I ask that you help us, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Work through us, God. Show us, reveal us something today in your word, in the name of Jesus. Keep us, Lord. Those of us who believe, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Okay, I got to shake it off. I got to shake it off. Shake it off. I wasn't going to do no extra talking because I'm going to get right in because I believe I'm going to be talking a lot. I'm going to be reading a lot. But I got to acknowledge Mom and Dad snuck in the back. They just came to put the pressure on me. I was already tripping, and I looked up and saw them. I'm like, oh. Woo. I'm telling you, those of you who ever had to come up here and speak, I read, I studied, but at this point, I have no idea how it's coming out. Some of y'all can feel me. I really don't. Because it's not a word I picked. Sometimes you go in, you're excited to speak, and you pick something. I'm going to talk about this. This is not. God asked me, do you believe? And then, which is my main undercurrent topic, he showed me how much I didn't. Really. Do you believe? First things first, you must believe. You must believe. You must believe first. So much so that God gave us all some measure of faith. Faith that when you heard the word, you believed. So I would say that we should position ourselves to hear the word. Amen. And I'm saying that because, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to give it to you now. Sometimes your life trials cause more than doubt. Your trials may cause you to have unbelief. And that's what I'm getting at. That's who I'm getting at. That's what God told me to talk to. That one or two or three, I don't know. But something you may not even have talked about is weighing on you to where you're in an unbelieving situation or an unbelievable position. Unbelieving position. Even though you're here today, even though you did praise and worship, even though you probably were here on prayer night, there's still something, a possibility that you have unbelief. And I'm here to tell you, it comes with the territory. Can I say this to you real quick? And this is not for now, but I'm saying it real quick and I'm going to repeat it. It's okay that you're not okay. It's okay that you're not okay. Don't be so fooled by what you think you're supposed to be that you fall deeper and darker because you refuse to acknowledge how much you're in unbelief. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonians and he said, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. That's why I'm asking, do you believe? And I ask it again, do you believe? See, y'all don't sound too confident, but that's okay. But what I'm trying to tell you is you do believe because you heard the word and you believe the word. That's why you're here. So I'm asking, do you believe? Sometimes what we're going through and the issues and situations causes doubt or even unbelief. Somebody has doubt today. Somebody has unbelief today. And I do. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you today. So I'm putting it out there now before I really even get started. That as you come to the realization and you shake off the guilt, or you shake off the, I don't know what to call it, but you shake it off. Stand up. Stand up right where you are. You can even come up, even if I'm not finished, because I feel this is so important. I'm not saying I feel it's so important. It must be important because of the way the Spirit of God was putting it on me. I might not even say all that I need to say, but it's something. You may not even realize it yet yourself, or maybe you just trying to shug it. I can't comprehend. That's the hard part for me. I know what I'm told to say. I know what I'm told to ask you, do you believe? I know I'm called to pull somebody out who has unbelief right now. But I don't know what that is. I thought maybe when I was in the congregation I'd get a vibe. But I don't know what that is. And maybe it's just for me. But let's go through this scripture. So we're in 11. John 11. I'm just going to give you some witnesses to this fact. That it's okay to not be okay. That you can be a believer and yet carry unbelief. I don't even know if I got a solution. Somewhere I do. But the main thing is, we got to recognize it, okay? So I'm going to start. Y'all know this story. Everybody know the story of Lazarus coming back to life? All right, so I'm going to read that story for you. But I'm going to, it's some points I need to pull out. So I'm not going to break down the whole chapter, but I'm going to read most of the chapter, okay? So we're going to start off on verse 2, and it says, it was Mary. Y'all know that Mary, right? Mary and Martha. It was Mary that anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. That Mary, that's the believer. She knew Jesus. She walked with Jesus. She talked with Jesus. She laid at his feet and washed his feet with her hair. If there's not another strong believer, that's a prime example. Yet in this situation, her brother Lazarus has died. And even though that's the main story, I'm not talking about Lazarus. I'm not even talking about what Jesus did. I'm talking about the believers who are in a situation by this trial, this drama, whatever you want to call it, is causing her to have unbelief. And we're going to see it as we go. And I believe that's why that's in here so strongly. Mary, the one who anointed Jesus' feet. Right? If that's not a believer, let me go on. So, when Jesus heard that, he heard the situation that Lazarus was sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory through it. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. All right, so your trial, your error, your situation, your ism, whatever, is not unto death. I don't know what it is, but it's not going to kill you. But it's going to be worked around you, through you, so that God can get the glory. See, we don't always like to hear this, But Jesus even told us, he said, just like I pick up my cross, you're going to have to bear your cross. But how many know that we all good and good until it comes up, right? You all good until your number comes up. And then we like, oh, wait a minute. Never said it would be easy. But he did say, I got you. So now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. I said I wasn't breaking down everything. But every piece of this, you got to understand, if these are not just haphazard people, he loved these people. Yet he said, oh no, that ain't to death. And there's a part in here I'm going to get to that I really love. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, teacher, Lord, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Again. Example after example in this particular chapter. These are the disciples talking. This is not your brother Norm. Because Norm ain't going back to Judea. They tried to kill you. They said it. That's the one. Now you talking, you want to go, Rabbi, Jesus, my man, my brother, I love you. But I ain't going. Again, believers, worse than Martha and Mary, they saw it. They saw him doing the miracles. But what? Unbelief. Unbelief. So I'm not talking to the super saint. The super saint is going to believe no matter what, right? You got drama, but you still going to believe, right? You super saint. But for the rest of us, there's going to be a time or two where what you thought you believed, where you thought you had a super saint on your chest, it's going to cause you to have unbelief. It's going to cause you to doubt. It may even cause you to question the Lord. But y'all stick with me. Jesus answered and said, oh, I love this. Jesus is, do y'all know Jesus is sarcastic? Do y'all know Jesus is rough sometimes? But that's how you got to be. Some, my wife say I'm like that sometimes. Well, I feel good if it's in the, if it's in relation to Jesus, you know. But sometimes you got to talk to yourself the same way. You got to know what you know. Right? No matter what the devil throw in front of you, just remember he can't kill you. You know what I'm saying? Just think, if you were a super saint, if you were Superman, it's not too much that you're going to question. There's not too many doubts you're going to have, right? All right, I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. All right, so he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? He's trying to tell them, not only do we have time to move, but it's 12 hours in the day. He means the daylight. Let's move while we got time. But listen to what he says next. He said, If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus Christ, right? But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but I got to get this point across real quick because Jesus is got full of stuff right here. We're walking in unbelief. Listen, part of what you got to check is yourself, right? See, we can be so good and think, oh, God can't help me with this. There's no way out. And it may be other people. It may be your inner circle. But if you're not walking in the light, meaning you're not walking with God, you're not trying to walk in his ways, you're not trying to change who you were to walk a new way, guess what? Half your unbelief is just that, unbelief, because you're not walking in this way. Plain and simple. So check yourself. Right? I know I started off saying we believe in, and you got drama, and I'm not negating what you're going through. But two things. By the way, turn your phone off. Yeah, that was me. I don't know why. It's probably a CNN report about Trump. All right. It says that God so loved the world. And then Jesus took on what his Father was trying to explain. And he loved the people of God. He loved the people as he went. But you're going to see some places here where he stuck. What's going on? Can you turn that off? I thought I turned it off. I think I just rebooted it, returned it on. All right. I'm sorry. So he talks about 12 hours being in the day and that you will stumble if you're not walking in the light. That's plainly what he said. If you're walking with God in the light of the world, which is Jesus, you got to get that. He's saying the light of the world, we know that's Jesus. You're not going to stumble. So if you're having issues right now, that's the first thing you need to do. Check yourself. Look at your feet. Check your shoes. How you walking? What you walking in? Whose steps you walking in? Who are you following? Check yourself. I was going to do that one time. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. These things he said, and after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up. And again, the disciples didn't get it. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get up. However, we know Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep, taking a nap. Right? Now, come on. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there. Y'all hear this? That you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Did y'all catch that? Right? I'm telling you, it's full of it. Right? Right? Always, you read this stuff and I read about what he's going to do to Lazarus, and Lazarus, his homie, died. But it's so much more of him talking to us who believe, and as we go through our issue, guess what? Somehow, some way, unbelief creeps in. But Jesus is telling us he wants us to believe. I want to go to John 20 real quick. Real quick. Jesus said, it's a good thing for your sake I wasn't there. So this is leading me to understand that your unbelief triggered by your trial is for your sake. The fact that you think Jesus wasn't there is for your sake. The fact that you were helpless in that situation is for your sake. Come on. That's why James, I think, said, James said, have joy in diverse situations. Count it all on joy. Why? Because then you got the opportunity. Matter of fact, I had that word in my notes. This is opportunity for you to witness God at work. Amen. Amen. Opportunity. Yes, the enemy's out to get you. Yes, your friends might not be for you. Yes, your inner circle might be against you. But Jesus said, for your sake. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. Listen, I'm going to read 20:30, John 20:30. It said, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. All the law is already written. This is just fulfillment coming up. You have to believe. Believing, it's not just you have to believe because he says so. He's trying to tell you that believing is the key to everlasting life. Believing is the key to life in Christ Jesus, right? In his name. Believing is the key to your hopes. Believing is the key to your health. You understand? I wanted to just read it, but I got to sway a little bit because we got to understand that it's believing and the fact that because we're human, those situations are going to knock us for a loop. You know, it's going to make us think we're not worthy because we're not okay. Because somehow my situation is causing me to doubt or have unbelief of what God can do in this situation. Right? It triggers that. Hallelujah. But God said, it's for you. It's for your good. Yes, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Listen, all right, John 20:26, I got to read this for you. Because he's getting ready to talk about this next, so I'm going to read it first. In verse 16, he talks about Thomas. And Thomas says something smart. Let me read Thomas' situation first. Thomas says something smart. Thomas said, it sounds like it's smart here, but it's the way he's unbelieving. He said, verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin. Don't be the twin. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be the twin. The twin, you know what that is? That's the twin of believer and unbeliever. That's what they're talking about here. His mindset is a twin. He believes, yet he's an unbeliever. Because he believes because he's been walking with Jesus. He's been talking with Jesus. He has seen him heal the blind. Right? He saw Peter walk on water, right? But yet, when it comes to, I tell you, this was me. This is Brother Norm, the 13th disciple. He said, look, he's the one that's talking about going back to Judea. They hate you. They want to kill you. So Thomas says, being the twin, says, okay. He talks to the rest of the crowd. Because this is the belief side of him. He says, let us also go that we may die with him. Right? I'm telling you, you got to check yourself with every situation, what comes out of your mouth, and how you walk. That doesn't seem like much, but basically he's saying, I don't believe. I believe you because I've seen some stuff. I've been with you. But they want to kill us. So, okay, out of my support and love for you, I'm going to go. But we're going to go so we all can die. Now, what kind of sense does that make if you really believe? But that's your situations. I'm just trying to real talk you here. That's your situations. But we got to be strong enough and trust the process enough, as the pastor always says, that we can say, all right, Lord, I'm going to go. Or if you do have that hinge of unbelief, get it out and let it go. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong, or it's okay. Maybe I say it that way because it's more like a slogan. It's okay to not be okay. Right? But the key, not only don't stay there, you got to acknowledge it. Right? You call me, Brother Norm, I'm not okay. I'm going to say, well, that's okay. But if you call Jesus, Jesus is going to say to you what he said earlier, I'm glad. Because what's his ultimate goal? We got to understand. See, we get caught up in our stuff and our drama. And I believe God gave me to this because this is serious stuff. You know, Lazarus, the one I love, the one you love, Jesus, is dead. Right? But it still doesn't matter. Jesus is working on the relationship. Look, not just even with him, but with God through him. Y'all have to understand that, right? It's through God. It's the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's why he came. So in this situation, he came, but he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because that had to happen so I can do my thing. So, Thomas, look at this. I know y'all knew this. John 20:26. And actually, no. I'm not even going to go from all the way. Yeah, I'll go. And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came to the door being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Now, number one, Jesus came out of nowhere in this situation. They were in the upper room. Just sulking, basically. Jesus comes out of nowhere and says, peace to you. Now, Thomas is right there. Thomas, because Jesus knew he was the twin, the one doubting, some of us call him doubting Thomas, Jesus said to him, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach in here and put into my side. And listen what he says. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. All right, so y'all sitting there saying, right, okay, y'all got it. What I'm trying to express to you here is that if in that situation you call on Jesus, look, Jesus will prove it to you. You got to understand, he wants you to believe. He's making ways. He did these things so you would believe. And he's going to give you proof to believe. The trick or the issue is that the enemy is trying to shut you down to where you won't look at Jesus. Right? But in the situation when it comes, you have to not only acknowledge him, you can't stay where you are. And I'm saying, that's why I said in the beginning, we got faith to hear the word. And once we hear the word, we believe. That's what that faith does to us. So we got to position ourselves to be in the word. Right? You have to position yourself in the word. That's the word of who? The word of Jesus Christ, right? Lord, help me with some time here. I'm going to move a little bit faster. Thank you, Lord. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha soon heard that Jesus was coming. So she went to meet him. She ran out to meet him. And look, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she had some kind of confidence that Jesus was able, but she had doubt he was able to do anything now. Right? Because of the situation. So listen, I marked it, but this is it right here, or the beginning of it. Watch your friends. Watch who you counsel. I put down here, seek ye not ungodly counsel. Because number one, if they're ungodly, they're not going to understand how you feel. Because they're already on the unbelieving side of things. Right? So watch how you talk or who you seek counsel with. The opposition is you, outsiders, your inner circle, and the enemy. Can I take a skip for a little bit, a prelude or whatever? Let's go to Luke 22:31. Actually, you don't even have to go there. I said this in the Bible study, but I want to say it for the congregation. I want you to look at this verse. Luke 22:31. Some of you who were at that Bible study that night, you'll know what this is. But I just want to reiterate it, and I want to seek out one part of it. And the Lord said to Simon, who was Peter, who walked on water, right? He said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. Y'all hear that? How many was here that Friday night? Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? Satan has asked for Simon. That was 22:31. Satan has asked for Simon that he could sift him, separate him from Jesus. Guess what? Satan is calling for you. Your enemy is tapping Jesus on the shoulder, saying, let me at Todd. Let me at Lillian. Let me at him. Sean looked good in his bow tie, but let me get at him. Right? This is what Jesus is saying to Peter. And he's talking about his disciples in general at this point. That he's asked for you. Because of what's in you already. Because of what God put in you and what God's planning to get out of you. But listen to this. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. I pray for you that you continue to believe. So what I get out of that, number one, none of us are safe. Because no matter how good you do, this is Simon Peter we're talking about, the enemy is going to come after you, right? But at the same time, I love what Jesus said. He said, but I prayed, past tense. Meaning your drama, your situation, your issue is already worked out. Jesus already prayed for you about that. The attack of the enemy is done. It's done. So our unbelief is only because we're not looking at the whole picture. Woo! Our unbelief is coming just because we looked at what we don't have at that moment. We forgot about all that God already did. But for that moment, what I don't have, what I'm not equipped with, the book says somewhere in there that God has supplied all we need. All the need. Let me tell you something. I saw that a bunch of different ways. I saw it says need. I saw it says the need. But just for a moment, because I could be wrong, but I want you to think about this. What if he was talking about, I supply the need? See, we look at it, you got it. We look at it as he supplies what you need. But what if he supplies the need? Right.
the drama, the trial, the issue, that very thing that distracted you from God. But for those of you who really believe, even though you're there, eventually you turn to Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Or at least you thought I wasn't there, because it forced you to call to me. Now I can prove to you and draw you back to me. You got it? God is that awesome. And it's almost that simple. But yet life, our flesh, our drama, this world is constantly against God. That's why it says it's the renewing of your mind. You have to, that's why I said you got to constantly put yourself in check. Check yourself. When you pray, stop praying for stuff. Pray that the Lord worked it out in you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And check it out. Martha does have belief. She says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Right? She believed. Now look. All right, so I got to get into Jesus. I got to get into this stuff here. Because this is where I was like, oh my God, Jesus, you are no joke. If you know what, if Jesus was my boy, if I was in, I'd probably be the one messing around, picking with people. And step back. I'm sorry. Because look, all right, so Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. She just said, because she believes, yes, I believe he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last days. Because she believed, they all been taught that, they all know that's coming. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection right now in the life. And he said, he who believes in me, though he may be dead, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never. We take that as the literal sense, but what we got to understand is the spiritual sense also. That means when you go and you're in that situation, that you're in unbelief, understand you will not die. You believe. Even though the situation looks different, even though when you try to calculate it and figure it out, that's the whole point of it. You can't figure it out. That's why it came on you. That's why I said sometimes he supplies the need. God wants the glory. Jesus wants you to believe. When you believe, that's your connection to everlasting life. That's your connection to the power that's only in his name. Look, I'm sorry, but this is, it must be for me. Jesus said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, because right after that, he hits her. Do you believe this? That's why I said you got to get in the Word of God. Because maybe your unbelief comes from your lack of understanding or even hearing the Word of God. Right? How many know you don't even have to understand? I challenge you to read the Bible like it's a story. Just read it. Just read it. You know why? I'm going to talk about it later, but this is a good interjection. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost that resides in you is going to do the translation for you. Right? But if you never put the Word in you, all you're doing is walking around with a powerful spirit in your body that you never tap. Because it's not what you say, it's not what you do, but it's the Word of God that he's there for. To help you understand and to be the intermediator to reconnect. That's the Holy Ghost. Another positive position of Jesus. That's how much he wants you to believe. Not only will he prove it to you, I'm way ahead, I'm sorry. But he said, on the cross, he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Some say he gave up the spirit. Some say he committed his spirit into God's hands. You know what that spirit is? That's the same Holy Ghost that's in you now. It was released when he died. Believe it or not, that's why he came. So now you having that spirit in you has the power to overcome. But it's through the Word of God. You understand? That connects to the Spirit of God. That gets to Father God. You understand that? But it's a gift. And the reason why we have to believe in Jesus is because that's the catalyst. That's how God set it up. He said, all right, I read it earlier. Didn't I? Yeah. If you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son. Okay. I know I'm probably too excited, but God's revealed this to me, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? Because the word is simple. Believe is the question. Do you believe? But then God is trying to tell me, no, they don't. Or someone doesn't. He even checked me. Do you believe this? The thing you read, the story you preach about, do you believe? Because the situation in all of our lives are going to come where it's going to force us to check. I tell my daughter all the time, buckle that seatbelt. Buckle that seatbelt. And yes, I'm a great driver. My wife, she's a little reckless. But I'm a great driver. But it only takes one time. And what you thought was secure is not. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. All right. So look. Then Mary, okay, so Mary says, yes, I believe. I believe you're the Son of Christ. She got it. She got it totally right then. She said, you're the Son of God who's coming to the world. And when she said these things, she went on her way, secretly calling Mary. She went to Mary and said, the teacher has come calling for you. All right, witness opportunity. You believe, but you have a situation you have unbelief. God wants you to be so secure in what you believe that now, through what you have experienced in the relationship, now you go tell Mary, God has need for you. You go witness. See, you God wants you to believe, and he's getting that belief to others through what you're going through. So you got to understand it's not always just about you. Really, it's not about you at all. You know what I'm saying? Number one, it's about the relationship, but at that same time, it's about God's relationship with his creation, his people that he put together. So now you went through it, so you a little more secure with your faith. Now go to your sister. Bring your sister to me. That's what we do. That's what we're on the planet to do. Jesus came to show us and die that the connection could be made through the Holy Ghost, the same spirit he let go. That spirit now is in all of us. And our job is to seek God and be ambassadors for him, tell everybody about him. But it doesn't come easy because of who we are, fleshly, natural. Even though we're packing supernatural, we're fleshly, natural. And we're going to have to go through some things to where that relationship, our faith builds up, then we can go tell somebody else. So he told her, she told her sister, the teacher has need for you. So I'm a skip a little. Martha comes now. Mary comes. She falls at his feet. She says the same exact thing. So you know they've been talking. And she's the one that wiped his feet with her hair. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Now I'm all the way down past 36. I'm going to 40 now. Right? Because now Jesus is saying, look, but in the middle of that, I'm just going to talk about this. In the middle of that, when Mary got up to go see Jesus, because soon as Martha told her, the teacher's calling for you, she got up and she ran. Everybody that was around her, in the house, out the house, helping her mourn, jumped up and they all had assumptions. So I'm just bringing it up because it's in the book, and that's why I said some of your opposition is the people that's around you. Right? So it's two reasons why they're there. Number one, it's for you to witness to. And sometimes you don't witness to them, you witness through what you're going through. Right? Right? Second is, they weren't the ones to be getting counsel from. Because as soon as she jumped up, they criticized. They're like, oh, I guess you're going to the tomb to weep some more, cry some more. And it said, this is where that one short, the shortest verse in the Bible where Jesus says, Jesus wept. This is where that is. Because Jesus had compassion for her, compassion for Lazarus, but also he was a little bit teed off at all the people who were there just to mock. Right? So that's where that comes from. And I'm saying that just to say, when you're going through it, watch who you seek counsel with. Right? So, all right, now. So Jesus said, y'all got to forgive me. I know I'm going. I'm sorry. Martha said, all right, Jesus, he's been in there for a long time. You're getting ready to open this tomb. He's been in there for 4 days. I know he started decaying. He stinks. And look what Jesus says in verse 40. And then I'm just going to read the rest of this, and then I'm going to skip to something else. Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you? See, that's just, to me, that's, I'm telling you. Jesus said, didn't I tell you it was going to be okay? Right? Didn't I tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Y'all got that? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus is a little sarcastic sometimes. He said, didn't I tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? God is awesome in that vein. Do you believe? Do you believe? I know you're going through, but the question is, do you believe? Or are you the one right now stuck because you're going through it? Your pain is great, and it may be so much you haven't even told anybody about it yet. That's the question. Look at this. Another example of God trying to prove it to you. Jesus turns his eyes up and looks towards the Father and says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Look, and he says, and I know that you always hear me. But because of this, of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. It goes on to say that many believed because of that. Many believed because of that. We're going to go to a couple more. I got one more witness. It's going to be quick. And I got a scripture I want you to read. Let's go to John 5:1-5 right now. John 5, we're going to go 1-5. I didn't mean to drag it out, but I didn't know how to get it out. And I wanted whoever to receive it. And to receive it right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I messed up there. That's 1 John. 1 John 5. Woo! All right, I'm done. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who believes him, who begot, also loves him. All right, I got to do this again because in case you're not watching and reading. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, capital H, who begot also loves him, small h. Meaning, if you love the Lord, you love all the saints, all the believers, all the ones he begot, meaning because they believe in him, they become sons of God. So all you who believe, you become a son or daughter of God. You become God's. And you love all of those who are also begotten of Jesus, meaning the other believers who are now children of God. Right? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments, yeah, right, that's how we know. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, y'all need to pay attention to this, okay? Y'all pay attention to this, I can stop. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Y'all got it? Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How do you get over your unbelief? Believe. But seek after Jesus. He said it right there. You can overcome. It's already built into you. You overcome because you believe. I used to think they talked about Jesus to overcome the world. No, he's saying right here that it's you, the believer, who can overcome because you believe. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Did y'all catch that? He who believes in the, so I'm adding this to it. This is your power. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. Guess what? You got that power in you. That's the Holy Ghost I was talking about. I just wanted to give it to you in writing right there. He said, you got the witness. What's the witness? The witness is the Holy Ghost. That witness is in you. I guess I'm not drawing my drawing. I had something I was going to do for you. No. I don't have time. My witness. This is my scripture. One of my scriptures. This is another witness. So I'm going to read most of it. Tell you most of it until the end. So he had a child. I'm in Mark, just so you can have it. Mark 17 to 24. But I want you to go to 23, 24. So this man had a child that was sick. He had a mute spirit, a demon. But the demon also caused him to have seizures, right, and convulsions. So this is my favorite one because this is in a nutshell what I've been trying to say. So this man actually went to the disciples first, and they couldn't cast him out. But then, and this is where I'm giving you the answer. You have to go after Jesus. You have to seek Jesus' face even when you're in a situation where you don't believe. So he went to Jesus and he asked Jesus, he says to him, my son, he had this issue since he was a child. And Jesus actually told him, he said, this unfaithful generation, meaning that you got to believe. You got to know. So I'm dragging it out, but here it is. Here it is. So Jesus said to the man, he said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He said, let me go back a little bit. He said to the man came to Jesus and asked him, can you help us? Can you have compassion for us? Not even understanding if he could really help, but he already went to the disciples, and it's a situation that's really plaguing. He said, can you have compassion for us? And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Right? So to you who believe, I'm telling you, all things are possible. Even what you think you're not believing right now or doubting. All things are possible. So the man immediately said to the guy, he said, Father, I'm sorry. If you can believe, all things are possible who believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is my scripture of scriptures. I believe. I know who he is. Right? I know who he is. I felt him when I first got saved. I felt him when I first heard the word of God. I believe, and I believe he's able. But help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. If you know and understand, I just want to ask you, do you believe? Do you believe? Have faith. The disciples came to Jesus. They asked him if he's angry. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and to this message. Even that mountain, that just signifies that big stuff in your life. In the name of Jesus. I know he's able. So I just want to ask you one more time. Do you believe? Do you believe enough to stay focused on him when you go through your stuff? Do you believe him enough that when you can't see him and you sink in the water, do you still believe? Come on, stand up.